The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven might be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered it to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master to report the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Could you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless you, each of you, forgive your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The theme of the Gospel, and in the first and second reading, is the mercy that we are called to have to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbor, which can be difficult. It's easy to be merciful to a mother or father, to forgive a son or a daughter, to forgive someone close to us. But someone that wrongs us that we don't even know, that may persecute us, may sue us, may become unpleasant, may wrong us at the workplace, talk bad about us through backbiting and gossip. That's not easy. And we may say that we forgive them, but the rancor and the what the first reading calls enmity that we hold in that person can run so deep that it may be simply a slight look at them and say to ourselves, "Well, yes, I have forgiven him, but I will keep him at arm's distance. I will have nothing to do with him." Enmity, animosity, bad blood, bitterness, a grudge, a feeling that he's done. I've X'd him out, that person, for what he said or what he did. This is something that the first reading reminds us that it will come back to us in our last days. The first reading says, "Remember your last days, set enmity aside. Remember death and decay." Remember that we must experience death and decay and face our Maker and cease from sin. First reading goes on and says, "Think of the commandments. Hate not your neighbor. Remember the Most High's covenant and overlook faults." Overlook our neighbor's faults and remember the Most High's covenant. What is the Most High's covenant with you and I? And that's probably the best, the easiest way to be able to forgive our neighbor, knowing that God continually forgives us. And the fact of the matter is that the fact that we exist, the fact that we have been drawn out of dust, out of nothing, and made in His image, is a continual mercy and a gift from God. It may not be, at a human level, easy to forgive our neighbor. But if we begin to reflect and meditate and pray and ask God to help us remember and understand that He has begun to forgive us since the beginning of our existence. He made us. That itself is mercy. The second reading goes on to say, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We owe everything to Him. We owe everything to Him. God is devoted to us as a true Father that loves us, that forgives us. We know, and those that are too young to have a child, there is nothing that a son or a daughter can do that will not be forgiven as they come back and ask for forgiveness. But even if they don't, we forgive because of love. Love is above all. It trumps all. And we forgive. Us, if we can forgive one that betrays, especially a son or a daughter, God can forgive us. He created us as a power, as a sign of His power. He created us and He continues to give us and to be merciful to us every step of the way as we fall and pick ourselves up. We have been purchased at a great price. God becomes a man, pays the debt. He pays it for us, and yet we continue to offend. We, in a certain sense, all of us, from pope to pauper to all of us, offend God continually because the supreme goodness and purity of what God is such that we fall. And all of us, in a certain extent, to a certain extent, are prodigal children. We know this to be true, and St. Bernard is clear. He states that we all offend God in many things because our strength cannot match God's rectitude of His will. What He asks of us, it's impossible. Because God, pure being, pure goodness, pure love, we have inherited original sin. But the good news is that we're no different than what is told for us in the thickest and biggest part of the Bible, which is the Old Testament. Again, remember the Old Testament is about a big Bible. It's about 3/4 or 4/5. And then the New Testament is about 1/5. And the Old Testament is basically the history of the rejection of God's love and mistrust in Him through the troubles of Israel. Because of the inheritance of original sin, which said, eat of this fruit of the tree of knowledge. God doesn't know exactly how to order your life. I have a better way for you. And if we're truthful to ourselves, in the things that happen to us in our lives, in the things that happen in the world, we have questions. We have grumblings. We have misgivings. We mistrust. The greatest saints in the world mistrusted. Peter, Paul, the apostle. They all mistrusted. Even so that they rejected and denied Jesus, Peter. All of them fell because of original sin. We, because of the protection that God has, because He loves us so much, and love will always protect our free will and our free thinking to rebel if we so choose to. That is the love of a God that goes to extremes. That is the love of a mother and father being rejected and loving and forgiving and allowing themselves to be laid down no matter what, whether it's said or done. And a forgiveness and a mercy always. Our life is the will of God. And that is what the Israelites did not understand. And they continually mistrusted God. When they were in the desert, when they were captive in Egypt, God opened up the Red Sea. Pharaoh was destroyed. They crossed, and then they were in the desert. And what did they do? After seeing the miracle, after seeing the great power of God, they began to grumble. There's no water at Meribah. this food, this heavenly food, manna. I can't take it anymore. And then quails. I can't take it anymore. We want the garlic that was back in Egypt, the Old Testament tells us. Garlic? Really? You're whining about the garlic back in Egypt, but yet you are now free. You're not under captivity from Pharaoh. You are given everything that you need, but God is testing you through the desert, feeding you, carrying you, and you're whining about garlic back in Egypt in the Old Testament. That's you and I. That's you and I. He's given us life, and He protects us, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives, but He tests, as silver is tested in the fire. And that is what the Our Father is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God for us here on earth, as difficult, as mysterious, as painful as it is the same will that will exist for us from all eternity. But the thing is that there's a time of testing now, and then there's a time of union, which if we adhere to what the church calls the science of the saints, begins to allow the will of God to form us, to reshape us, to restore us. And that is what the Israelites, again and again, hit their heads against a rock. And that's why Israelites killed the prophets and all them before Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ they killed. Because it is a hard saying. It is a saying that from a human level, we don't want to hear. Our God, our will, and God's will are called to be one. And there's the struggle. There is the tension. There is the struggle between God the Creator and us, the creature. The puny brain with, you can't even call God having a brain because God is all encompassing. God is in us. The Trinity lives in us. He is in creation. He is existence in all, the Alpha and the Omega. There is the tension. There is the weakness. There comes the pride of original sin. And there's so many hymns in our prayers that we all have secret fears to face, our minds and motives to amend. And that in the Israelites, in Psalm 107, we're reminded that the Israelites defied the will of God. He spurned their counsels. He crushed their spirit. They stumbled. There was no one to help. And they cried to the Lord, and then He rescued them in distress. The cyclical phenomena of human existence. It's you and I. When things don't go well, we say, "Why, God, why?" And then things get better. And then again, we fall, and then it's cyclical. It's a lack of trust. It's a lack of vision. And what happens is that if we just stay at that level of lacking, God would understand. But we turn to sin. And sin is a disorder. It's a diversion of not embracing the sufferings and the will of God in his life. Anxiety may not have sin, but whatever. Pornography, gossip, sin, murder. All the first sin, the sin between Cain and Abel. It's all a rejection of God's will in our lives that we can do it better and we know better. Drugs. And it can be anything. It can be the sin of divulging and overdosing on sports, on anything that we do that takes us away from reflecting and embracing the will of God in our lives. That's why St. Paul says, in my weakness, in my persecutions, in my hardships, in my calamities, is my strength. Because I have a man-made God, a God-made man that showed me the way. And so Paul said that my grace, your grace is sufficient for me. Paul prays for a thorn to be removed. 3 times he prays. And Christ tells him, it will not be removed because my grace is sufficient for you. So my brothers and sisters, in closing, let us call a spade a spade. That what happens in our lives, as mysterious, as difficult, as difficult, is what is called His permissive will. And we can not even begin to think about the things that we can believe that we don't think should happen in this life. We dodged a big bullet by Irma. Look at the Caribbean. There's an island that's completely abandoned. We dodged a bullet. But yet, I happened to be on call this week at the hospital, and last week wasn't bad, talking to my colleagues, but the hospital's full. The clinical decision unit, which means that they're not being admitted, but we'll see what to do with them, is packed. The ER's packed. And the stories I hear back here at Lake Butler, man, 3 days living by himself, an diabetic on the floor, dehydrated, blood sugar 500, and there's stories and stories and stories going on. So we did dodge a major bullet, but there is suffering. There is suffering in our lives. There is suffering all around us. And there are people that suffer without hurricanes continually in Syria being displaced. Remember that we have brothers and sisters all over the world that are called to suffer in much more different ways. And so let us not suffer the sin of pride and flex our muscle at the sin that we think that we know more than our Creator. And so I leave you with this reflection from the Book of Wisdom regarding the will of God. And how can a mere creature dare wish to make any change in what has been ordered in measure and number and weight by God's infinite wisdom? And so let us pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and evening. Be merciful to me. Make known to me the path that I must walk. If we reflect on the mercy of God that He's had for us, I think it'll be easy to be merciful to our neighbor.